All right, folks, we're back. Sorry about that interruption. My son brought down the suitcases for our trek to Kyoto, which we're also going to be going to as well in a couple days. So I'm just going to pick up where I left off here. This will be part two of this episode. Now, I think I was saying that one of the things that was interesting to me is that you'll see Japanese people who are up in the morning for work. They will literally, you'll see them in ramen shops and eating soba noodles, 6:37, 7:30 in the morning, which I thought was fascinating. It's just an interesting way to kind of conduct your life. My brother would love that kind of start your day meal. Sometimes you don't always have to eat breakfast food in the morning. Now, here was another interesting quirk that I've noticed about my time here in Tokyo. But before I get into that, I want to say this one thing. It's a little intimidating not speaking Japanese here in Japan. Obviously, it is a language that is difficult, no matter how good you are with languages to learn. And you can imagine that there aren't many phonetic equivalencies. It's hard to sound things out language-wise that might be understood. So that's a little bit intimidating. But to be absolutely honest, you kind of just have to open your mouth and do the best you can. You don't speak the language, and most people know you don't speak the language, so they're going to try to help you. But if they can't understand you, they can't understand you. You hope to find someone who can understand you, and then take it from there. But one of the interesting quirks that I found here is that when you're in a restaurant, it seems as if service in Tokyo deals with serving the food whenever it's ready, no matter how many people are in your party. Let's say you're on a party of four and all of you order food. You might get one dish in 5 minutes and then two more dishes in 5 minutes after that. And then the fourth dish 3 minutes later. They literally just serve the food when it's ready. This has happened to me literally. I've witnessed this four or five times, and I've been here a day and a half. Very, very strange. Not that there's anything wrong with that. It is just kind of a fascinating little quirk. In America, so often, some of us wait till everyone has their food and has been served their food before any of us eat. That's kind of the polite way to do it. But here in Japan, or at least in Tokyo, you kind of just eat when they bring your food because they're not going to bring it all at the same time. Fascinating. Now, the subway is very clean. There's probably no shock there. And you don't see, obviously, many panhandlers there or people walking around asking for money. I haven't seen any, to be honest. And I've taken the subway quite a bit. So it makes using public transportation enormously convenient. Now, I will say this. It seems as if the bar culture here in Tokyo is incredibly strong. There are a number of places that you can go to, and we're going to get into this in the next episode some. Number of places that you can go to and enjoy either craft cocktails or whiskey of any kind. Whiskey in Japan is very popular. The kind of national drink is called a highball, which is essentially a whiskey and soda. And depending on which whiskey you want to use with that soda, that makes up your highball. That's what you can actually call. It is fascinating that the culture is so crafted around single malts. As some of you may remember, we talked about how this is the 100th year of distilling in Japan. It started in 1924. And the father of Japanese whiskey, essentially, was trained in Scotland for about 3.5 years and brought that style of distilling to Japan, and which is why the Japanese people are so in love with single malt and a Scottish style of whiskey. So you'll see that all the time. Now, there are a number of neighborhoods that we've been to. We've been to Ginza, we're staying in Shindome, and we've been to Shibuya, as well as Minato City and Harajuku. There are a number of things, and we're going to talk about all of those things in the next episode. But I will tell you this. The next episode, we are going to be talking with Ian Chang. I think I mentioned Ian a couple episodes ago. We met at Whiskey Fest, and Ian is the co-founder of the Comoro Distillery. And we are trekking out to Karuzawa tomorrow to meet with Ian. He's going to take us through his distillery and talk to us about, he's the master blender there as well. He's going to talk about his approach to distilling, his thoughts on whiskey in general. And we're also going to be going to the Aloha Whiskey Bar, which I think you guys are going to get a big kick out of this place. David is from Hawaii and immigrated here to Tokyo a few years ago and has a very popular bar here in Tokyo. And we'll be talking about all of that next episode. But for now, that is tonight's episode, this week's episode. As always, don't forget to like, subscribe, tell your friends, tell your enemies. We will be giving you an episode next week also, which should be next Thursday or Friday, obviously either Boxing Day or the day after. And that will end us for the year. But we have a ton of content that we're actually going to be sending your way. And I think you will like and enjoy most, if not all of it. So, for tonight, Cyrus Farmer, Stomp the Tea, sorry for the interruption, and we will continue to move forward as we always do. And also, don't forget, we'll see you on the first tee. Hit 'em straight.